say, oh, yeah. Usually after conferences like this, you get to the end of the day and you feel like it's been kind of death by PowerPoint. And I hope we didn't do that to you today. There was quite a lot of information, but I found all of the presentations to be fairly provocative and lots of visuals for you. So with that, I'll invite Pat up and let him recap for you.
I want to start off just by thanking Sea Grant, Maine Coastal Program, USGS. Am I missing any sponsors, Paul? Never mind us. We're just along for the ride. Give you a little history about how we got here. First of all, where's Chad? Chad, well behaved today. Hell of a good job. Quite not something I'm used to. I just give you a little history with Chad and I, because we started off on what I would call a less than rosy road. It was a pretty rocky road, actually. I think we've come to understand each other and each other's challenges and, frankly, limitations. Chad came into the governor's office to meet with some of the governor's staff, and I think he brought Walt with him, and Cole and I went over and we were there, I think, for security reasons, more than anything. And so Walt throws this picture up on the table, and he said, I want to draw, look at the line in this picture. And it was a line where between an area where there was active harvesting and then the closed area, and you could see a discrete line. But the closed area that he said, has it been harvested? And I said, yeah, look at all the disturbance in there. And he says, no, it's green crabs. Come walk. Come down and see. So several meetings happened in between then and my trip down to Freeport. But what I've come to find out with Chad, it's better to meet him in a bar and drink beer because he becomes a little more tolerable. So we met. Chad and I and Clint Goodnow and I think Walt and several others showed up, and we were just going to have a beer. I'm not going to say how many we had, during the course of that meeting, I said, you know something, what we need is better collaboration on this particular issue. And I said, why don't we just talk to Sea Grant? Why don't we see if there's an ability to get people together in one room and get scientists, get academia, get managers, get harvesters into one room to start the conversation. And I am more than pleased that the result is 300 people attending in person and 350 listening on the Internet. It is an issue that is certainly one that is real. And it was made real to me when I went down, Linda Mercer and I went down, jumped on a boat with Chad. I had to promise Marine Patrol that I would have a PFD because he was running the boat. We went out and hauled traps. And each trap had, I don't know, 100, 200. And the catch was down, wasn't it, Chad? Yeah, and I was, because people are listening, but the kids are going home, but there could be kids listening. I won't say what I said. I think I had some of the same language that was referred to when you saw the videos in the bank, having that I fall into a fishing, back to some fishing backgrounds every once in a while, and it was amazing. But I said, I want to see the banks, Chad, but the tide was wrong, Chad was late, there was a lot of stuff going on, and so I went back down, and it was one of the hottest days this summer, and we donned hip boots, and we started wading across flats, and I just couldn't believe the pock marks. I couldn't believe what I was seeing based on and hearing based on the trap catches. And then when we got to the first bank, if I can't remember her name, but if I run a video camera on my cell phone about like she does, and I did video it, and I was astounded at the amount of green crabs that were prevalent under the bank and the bank destruction. The habitat destruction caused by green crabs was nothing short of amazing. And when I was reflecting on it on the way home, where I like to shoot black ducks in the back of I won't actually not to say where I let shoot black ducks. I almost left that out. But somewhere in the Hartswell area, I was struck by how the banks were falling away, but never thought about linking it to green crabs until I was driving home that day and thought, wow, this is not happening just in Freeport. It's happening in several other places. And then what we're finding is it's happening everywhere. So this meeting needs to be the first step in where we go. I want to reflect back at some of the points in the meeting. Dr. Beal showed a Marine Patrol officer with an axe, and my first thought was, that's because we didn't give them guns in the 50s. They didn't get guns until the 70s, so I'm thinking, well, they were carrying axes. Must have been pretty bad. But then I realized, no, they were actually, then I learned about castrating was the problem. So maybe they were castrating all the green crabs back then, Brian. I'm not sure, but the transition from the 50s, though, that temperature issue and looking at dealing with shrimp lately and dealing with the issues associated with lobster, dealing with the issues associated with all of these other species that are now new to our area. Obviously, green crabs aren't new. They've been here since the 1800s. But this water temperature issue is really, really bleak. If you look back in the 50s, it was a shorter duration. It was a sustained increase in a shorter period of time and caused really a remarkable change in what we see or what we saw back in the 50s based on the evidence and the historic record we have. In this case, if you looked at all those temperature changes and you saw that Dr. Beal laid it all out, and it's very different. It's high, it's low, it's all over the place, but the trend is still the same, and it's still going up. And it is certainly causing tremendous pressure and problems for us within our coastal fisheries. So I thought, geez, you know, what better way? What is there for better ways? And I think you heard Chad really lay out some really thought-provoking ideas. You heard Timmy's thought-provoking reaction, kind of, oh, we can't do that, holy smokes. But you got to have those type of conversations, because without them, we don't go anywhere. We don't make any change. We can hope for Mother Nature to reverse itself, and we get tremendously cold weather. And with that tremendously cold weather, we get a turnaround. And we start to see a rebound in the softshell clams, within blue mussels, within eelgrass beds. But we can't bet on that based on what we're seeing for changes now. We also just can't decide we're going to throw money at it. Do we need more money? Do we need to invest in this issue? Absolutely. But cold weather and capitalism will drive solutions. And you heard Mr. House speak about what some of his kind of these big ideas that he has. We didn't hear a lot about detail, but when you talk to the individual fishermen like I do on a daily basis, the idea of being able to make a living off 25 cents a pound just doesn't exist. But if somebody can come and there is a market and there's a determination and you can make those findings and you can link it to aquaculture, if you can link it to crab meal that's based on the issues that George Siva does with seaweed, if you can link it somehow to a food-based source, it's not going to be one silver bullet. It's going to be a combination of all of those things that will hopefully drive change and allow for some access. We were joking earlier that somebody said that, are we going to start managing these? Well, if you look at the history of fisheries management, maybe we should. Huh? Of course, it's not my fault. It's everybody else's, but if you look at the history here, collapse will become inevitable when you put man-made removal into the equation with all of the. I'm sorry to all those people at home who have probably just jumped out of us. So how's that? So when you have these man-made removals and this versus natural mortality and all of these other stressors, it is incredibly difficult to manage anything. And we are learning, and we are starting to do a much better job at sustainability. I don't know. Oh, wow, that worked. We're starting to do a much, much better job. So we need to find, again, ways to determine what the right goals are for invasive species. Somebody said, well, we need to manage those. We need to biomass estimates. And I was like, I'll be damned if I want to manage an invasive species. My reference was actually pike. If you look at what's going on with pike in the freshwater systems, and because it is such an attractive game fish, there's more of a drive to want to manage them, but yet they're invasive. Do we want to manage an invasive species to ensure a sustainable harvest? Well, my answer is no, but does that become the only answer to get them into a suppressed state so they're not impacting softshell clams, blue mussels, or whatever else might be out there? Those are the kind of questions and the tough things that we need to wrestle with. Chad touched a lot on the management, and I think management is one of the conversations that we need to address holistically when it comes to how we're going to deal with softshell clams. I think the other issues associated with it, and he touched on it and others touched on it, is kind of what is the message here when it comes to this issue, and how can we make sure that we're consistent? The other components of this, from whether it's the science side, from a state agency or federal agency, or whether it is academia, what are the research questions that continue to need to be looked at? And one of the other issues that we need to wrestle with as far as the businesses that are associated with this to develop markets. All of those pieces need to continue to be talked about. And what I want to leave you with as far as my thoughts is this should only be, as I said earlier, the first conversation in many to move us in the right direction. I think we need additional meetings. I know Paul has mentioned that Sea Grant is willing to help organize additional talks, whether it is on the science side or the management side. As I said earlier, the outreach components are going to be critical, and the department can help with that, and we can make sure we're working closely with other groups to help be consistent. But at the end of the day, we need to find a way to eradicate these little critters to the best of our ability. And that will not be done by just DMR alone or just the clammers alone. It's going to have to be everybody in this room working collaboratively kind of towards one particular goal. And that's what I want to leave you with for the thought. How do we get there? How do we move forward? How do we ensure the debate that Timmy and Chad had about licenses, if you break it down, that debate is really...